Welcome to the Dauntless Grace Exchange.
You did that on purpose.
I did.
You were trying to make me introduce the topic.
I was. This is what we
But we
do.
had already agreed that I was going to start it and you were going to introduce it. Well,
I
I
just
agreed
wanted to
that.
give this behind the scenes look for a minute at how literally every episode for 149 episodes, the conversation is before we hit the record, are you starting it or am I starting it? And by that, we can't ever decide if we mean starting it by saying, welcome to the Dauntless Grace Exchange, or starting it by introducing the topic or the guest. And so this has been 149 episodes in, people. And today we decided that Megan was going to introduce it, which by proxy means...
Start it. I was going to start it.
Sorry, I already messed up. You were going to start it, which meant by default that I am the one introducing the topic. And I just decided to change that up a little bit at the last minute. You're welcome.
Yeah. She stepped on my lines. Now it's all chaos and we don't know what's happening. And
does
I
anybody
forgot what we're talking
even
about.
Know, does anybody even know who's talking now since we didn't introduce ourselves?
Oh, shoot. Well, you said Megan, so I'm assuming they thought you weren't talking in third person. And also my nose is a little stuffy, so they can probably figure that one out.
So you are Megan.
That's true.
And I am Deidre.
Which makes you Deidre. Yeah.
And now that we've gotten the starting of the introductions out of the way, now one of us will introduce the topic.
We should like coin terms for starting and introducing. Although now that I'm saying it, starting and introducing might work.
I think it works. I just think it's funny that it's really difficult.
After 3 years,
right?
We haven't figured that out yet.
We're going to be at 150 episodes next week.
Yeah, that's a lot of episodes.
That's a lot of episodes. It's a lot of us talking. So I think every once in a while you just got to throw a wrench in it. And that's what I decided to do. You're welcome.
That's like 3 years at 52 weeks and skipping very few weeks each year. So kudos to us for not skipping. Speaking of skipping.
I thought maybe we should note that.
We did. We skipped last week. And I would like to tell you that it was intentional, but the truth is we both forgot it was Wednesday when Wednesday happened. And why is that, Deidre?
Well, because we were on a trip. So
yeah,
your work was sending you on 2 back-to-back trips out on the East Coast. And Ronnie already got to go to one of them a month ago with you. And he went to the other one last year about the same time. So it was my turn. And I got to go to, well, one city I've been to before, but I was really young and I don't really remember it. So I got to go to Washington, D.C. with you for a few days. And then the other one was Boston, which I've never been to. So I was excited to see that, especially both of them at Christmas time. So that was going to be fun. And I actually took some vacation time off and I was just going to enjoy like these super swanky hotels that your conferences are at, which are great. Like the Gaylord Hotel. It's amazing. It's a whole city inside of the atrium. It's just incredible. But, we also threw in a last minute change of plans. Instead of flying from Washington, D.C. to Boston, one of your colleagues recommended that, hey, did you know that you could take a train in to New York City? So you called me or probably texted and you're like, what do you think about this? And I was like, I'm in, without knowing any details. So basically in 20 hours, we took a train one afternoon after you were done working to New York City, got in at like 8:30 at night and went straight to Times Square, all lit up, all Christmas, Rockefeller Center, saw the tree, turned around, saw Macy's, saw Saks Fifth Avenue's light show and Christmas music and people everywhere and ice skaters and flags and angels adorning all these spaces. It was amazing. So we got to bed late that night. We stayed with an internet friend who has now become an in real life friend. So that was fun. And we'll shout out to Karen. She was an amazing host. Let us bunk at her place that night. And then we got up early the next morning and she gave us some authentic New York bagels to start our day. And then we just did 20,000 steps between like 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. when we got back on the train that same day. So in 20 hours, we did all of that and about 25,000 steps and went to Boston for the last leg of the trip.
That wraps up another episode of the Dauntless Grace Exchange.
Well, okay, no, I'm not words about all of it, but I just was trying to give like this little surprise second leg of the trip that we threw in the itinerary, and it was super fun.
No, I don't know that you need a co-host on this one. You are like performing our conversations back and forth and everything at the beginning. I don't think you actually need me to hash this out and talk it out.
Do we need to hash it out? Is there something we're hashing out here?
I mean, no,
Okay, so
not hashing it out.
this is the best friends couple counseling session. And actually, we're gonna rehash. No, I'm just kidding. We're not.
Although we could start with how our traveling together has changed over the years as I have become less anxiety ridden and more confident and, in your words, aggressive at traveling.
It's fine. We
That
can have
was
these
fun.
conversations in the moment and get past it.
Oh yeah, that wasn't actually a hashing out of anything. It was just funny because you're like, I don't know what to do with you. You are now confident. And I'm like, do you mean aggressive? And you're like, maybe.
I wouldn't have used that word. It just felt like a different energy was going on. And I wasn't sure what, whenever somebody changes something, there's a dance of how to respond to that. And I was like, I'm in the dependent stance, which we say their relational energy is like toward dutiful. And I'm like, I'm not sure what the right response is to this. I don't know what my role is now.
Oh, because I switched from like my normal, like withdrawing, kind of letting you take the lead on stuff to being the more aggressive going forward. And you're like, now what's my role? And this is a real life example of how family systems work, right? Because I switched roles on you and you had to figure out how to dance into the new role that, and I had to figure out how to not be so aggressive that I was just leaving you behind or running right
Okay.
over you.
In your defense, part of the problem is that your legs are like 17 inches longer than mine, and I can't ever keep up. So when you're walking on a mission,
17 inches.
you've taught me how to exaggerate specifically for a laugh.
I laughed.
If I'd said a foot longer, that wouldn't have been as funny as a specific number like 17. I should have been like 17.5. I didn't know how to specific to get, but okay. They're probably 6 inches longer than mine, though, honestly. But when you walk and I walk, I can't keep up. And so when you're a little more in a withdrawn energy, that balances that out. But when you're like aggressively moving forward, I am like little Flintstone Betty back here, like ding, 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 trying to keep up with you.
That's amazing. Also, in my defense, I don't know why I need to defend myself. There's no reason to, but I was excited because I had just been to DC at this exact same hotel, this exact same conference location, this city, like 3.5 weeks ago. So I was like, oh, I'm going to show you around, which did not translate so much as to a friendly energy as to a, hey, I've been here, let me show you around, kind of like that. So regardless, we worked out at the beginning of this trip the new dynamic and where we were going to fit into that. So that was good.
And
All right,
also,
counseling portion
I
over.
don't ever really want to lead in traveling. It's not like I needed that. I live in a family where I followed other people around in that space.
Yeah.
So, also, most of the time, if it's left to me, we might get lost. So I'm not ever was like, oh, you need to let me lead. It was an energy thing, which is exactly what we talk about with
Yeah.
Stanford, right? That relational energy, it shifts. And so to keep like a, what is the word for balance that I'm looking here?
Stasis.
Homeostasis. Yeah. To keep that homeostasis intact, somebody else needs to shift in response. And I was just like, tell me what the right response would be.
Right. Because I don't think it was a control for either of us. I think, yeah, I shifted my energy and you were like, what do we do? But I want to point out to everyone who made a sarcastic comment to us when we got back from being lost in the Bahamas for a few hours that we traveled three cities, like major metropolitan areas with subways and walking and all this stuff. We never got lost one time. One time.
This is a first actually for us, I think. A whole
Yeah.
trip where we didn't get turnaround, miss an exit, or, and we even navigated subways. So,
Well, it helped that we didn't actually drive our own vehicles at any point in time, but still, we never got lost walking or getting on the subway.
yeah. And we covered some territory, lots of steps. So,
Yeah.
one of the things that was a theme the whole time, being in some place with so much history. It's kind of like when you're in LA, you can't help but see the places where all your favorite movies and shows are. That's kind of how we felt. We were like, this is where the scene from Madam Secretary happened, or this is the park bench in West Wing where they had the conversation, or whatever. All of those just stereotypical things you would see in a city like that. And of course, yours is National Treasure. So everywhere we went,
Okay.
you're like, this is the scene in National Treasure. I'm like, it's also where we actually signed the Constitution, or it's also where we read the actual Declaration of Independence. What did I tell you? I saw somebody say that the other day about their kids. They saw this beautiful sunset and they were like, oh, it's like a screensaver. And
Saver.
the mom is like, no, the screensaver is like this. I felt like you
Okay,
were doing
so
that.
I can appreciate history. I can. But you're right. It is more important to me that I step where Nick Cage stepped. And this New York portion rounded out my experience because I had already done Boston. I had already done Philly. And so all I was missing was Trinity Church, which is where here at the wall, where they go in to actually read the map in Ian. And that's literally where the treasure is. Spoiler alert, but this movie is like 20 years old. So I was just happy to have like rounded out my National Treasure one tour, basically, of the continental United States.
Also, we may be more invested in that period of history because of Hamilton than because of our history books. So we were also at Trinity Church, which was made popular again because of the Hamilton musical. So we had to, you know, Trinity Church near you. Like we saw all of them and where they were buried and
I don't know what's more important to me though, the fact that there could be a potential treasure buried stories underneath Trinity Church, or the fact that Angelica Schuyler Church was actually buried somewhere in the courtyard.
yeah, I think it's gonna have to be the Hamilton reference for me.
Fine, fine. That was very cool. All of it was very cool. Although I will say I washed all of my clothes when I got home because, like, we had to pack enough for a whole week without doing laundry. And I tend to overpack, especially when I'm working half the trip. So I threw all of my clothes in the wash when I got home and I was putting them away yesterday. And I pulled a pair of socks out of the dryer that I apparently had worn the day we walked like 10 plus miles around New York. And there was like still crusted blood staining the sock that had been washed. Because apparently I didn't have great shoes on and my feet were just bleeding, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. Well, it was worth it, but my feet weren't bleeding, so I don't know if I can speak to that. I'm more distressed that it came out of the washer still that unclean and you dried it.
Right?
I'm
And
just,
wore it yesterday.
oh my gosh. We are very different people.
I mean, I just assume that whatever's come out is going to come out. Like it's nothing. It cheese is trapped now. Like I don't know what to do with the blood. It's just there. It matches my shoe.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so all the history, all the monuments, all of that was really cool. It was especially magical at Christmas time. The first
Yeah.
hotel was magical. It was the Gaylord and it was just decked out. There were so many actual activities that people that don't even stay at the hotel will pay to come do. So it was just amazing. New York was fun but tiring. And then when we got to Boston, my body, after 3 years of really not sleeping through the night. I've had probably over 3 years now. It started in the spring of 2020, so 3.5 years. Not that I have never had a night, but like it's once every 6 weeks maybe where I actually get like more than,
If that, I feel like you could probably count it on one hand at this point.
yeah, like more than 5 or 6 hours straight. Like generally I get 3 or 4 and then the rest of the night is completely interrupted. So we've realized though, if I give my body enough downtime from work and house life and all of that, and have the right hotel that I can. I had 3 nights where I slept over 6 hours straight each
Have
of
you
those nights.
slept since coming home?
Not that long straight.
Bummer.
But it's been better the last few
That's
nights.
good.
So apparently when you're an Enneagram one, you can pretend like you're in your seventh space all day long, but your body doesn't necessarily know how to sleep.
Yeah, you need something like extended and prolonged for it to finally like reach that point of like, okay, now I can let go. Now I can just everything that has been weighing on me, I can just kind of release it.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, some of it was like an injury that happened, some of it was surgery, and a
Oh,
lot of
yeah.
it is hormonal. So it is not every Enneagram one's testimony, but
No.
I did find that it took me a little bit to get into that rhythm. And the fact that I wasn't working, even though you were, and I got to just like sleep in a nice hotel was amazing. So very thankful for that. Thankful to be back to real life too. But one of the fun things that we got to do was meet one of our favorite guests that we have on. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so Tammy Sullenberger is an IFS therapist and the author of The One Inside. She's the podcast host of The One Inside. And she was my very first introduction to what IFS is. Agreed to be on our podcast. She's been a guest twice, I believe. And we were so excited because she only lives like an hour and a half from Boston. And she drove from New Hampshire to meet us for dinner one night. And it was just so lovely. It was, I mean, she probably spent 6 hours with us. And like, we're a lot together. And some people like us in small doses, but she liked us in big doses.
In big doses. We had such amazing conversation. It was like deep soul friends from the first hug, and the waitress came back three times before we had even looked at our menu. Like, we just had to force ourselves to order when she came back the third time because we felt so rude. But we just immediately fell into these really deep conversations and just felt like such a kindred spirit. It was really cool, really fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like I don't even know if this is real life, but somehow we coerced her into actually coming to our next Enneagram retreat, and she's going to teach the IFS portion at our February retreat. And I wish I were saying that so I could be advertising it to you all, but the truth is, dear listeners, we're full. We have no room left at that retreat.
Yeah, I know that's unfortunate. We don't need to advertise it to get people there,
You know.
but the people who did sign up are going to get a special treat because she is an IFS certified, trained by Dick Schwartz himself, who began this counseling model. And she's a therapist who practices this and is and has written a book on it. And just recently, she was, if you remember, Jenna Riemersma was on. There was a chapter in Jenna's new book that was authored by Tammy Sullenberger and Joan Ryan. So Joan was actually going to come have dinner with us too, but she was sick, so we didn't get to see her. But so she's not only authored her own book, but she authored a chapter on the connection of IFS and Enneagram in this new book by Jenna. And she is coming just to deliver all of this wisdom right to us. And it's going to be amazing. So
I'm
excited.
so excited. And if you know, if she enjoys her experience with us, if we don't snore too loudly in the room or whatever, maybe we can convince her to come back to another one and actually advertise so that people can get a chance to come and learn from her too.
Yeah, I'm excited. Plus, she's just fun. And at our
She
retreat,
is.
we like to stay up late and play games and have fun and just eat charcuterie boards and hang out. So,
Not the boards, to be
oh,
clear.
yeah, we don't eat the actual board.
Just the charcuterie that's on the board.
Okay. Speaking of that, we also have a new dessert
Wow.
that we're not going to share yet, but you found a new kind of charcuterie board inspired dessert. One that looks really good. So we'll have that at this retreat too.
That's awesome. Oh, I was going to say something else about Tammy, but now I don't. Oh, okay. So, what I love about Tammy is that she thinks IFS and Enneagram as much as we think, and probably more, obviously. She's been doing IFS a lot longer, but that's just, it's the lens she sees everything through. So even when we're just having like this really natural conversation about our lives, she'd be like, well, a part of me and another part of me. And it's like, it's just such a natural flow of conversation where she's recognizing what part is speaking at the moment. And then, or she could look at us and be like, well, is that just a part of you that feels that way? And we weren't in therapy, although I will say that I got to go, you just got therapized to a therapist, which was
You got
really
to say
fun.
that to a therapist. It was
It's
amazing.
very, very fun. But it's the way that it's just part of her language, it's part of how she sees the world and how she interacts with people. And it was just so authentic. It just felt so like freeing to sit in the presence of someone who's so self-aware. And then also just make such space for other people to be part of that as well.
Yeah. I felt like I had so much space and intentional listening to share everything I wanted to share, and there was still room and time for everyone to have that same space. So you got to share, she got to share, and there was like a beautiful flow of energy kind of bouncing around. No one person was like monopolizing conversation. It was an exchange, and that is what we love to do at the retreat. Like, We do have intention. There's a reason we're gathering. There's information that's going to be shared, but there's a flow of people being seen and heard and safe and, just being recognized for where they are at currently and having empathy flow from that. But also like, oh, but there's like this energy that comes as that exchange happens that gives us a little more hope that we can go back and have a different story, even though I'm here now. And that's kind of what I felt like. It felt like a little 5-hour retreat around dinner and post-dinner dessert,
Yeah, and that was the last night of our trip. So that's kind of how we got to wrap things up, which was just, it was the perfect little cherry on top, I think.
Yeah. Well, we thank you, Tammy. We love you.
Yeah, for sure. And we're excited to see you in a couple months again.
So I don't know, like if there's anything else we need to say that anybody cares about listening about, but it was a good trip and super excited. I call these moments like divine appointments. I just feel like there's times when you meet someone and it's the right time and the Lord just knows that it's time for your paths to cross. And the first one with her was for you to find her to introduce you to IFS. And this one was another one for it to become like in real life. And I think a lot of us have those moments all the time if we're looking for them.
You know, it's cool because she hadn't heard the story before of how I found her and how it introduced me to IFS. So I was able to tell her that story in person, which was even like more amazing because it's been almost 2 years. Actually, February will be 2 years since then, since we found her and found IFS. So that's kind of a full circle moment for her to come back.
Well, I also think like when you're willing to take these journeys, like and listen to where the Father's directing your attention. If you open your eyes, if you're living like intentionally with eyes wide open, you can really find those moments. We had dinner with one of your colleagues when we were still in Washington, D.C., and there was a lady eating next to us, just at a table alone, but fairly close because of the way you guys were sitting on, a bench, like sharing a bench, even though they were different tables. And at one point, I just really felt like I was supposed to just make eye contact and just see her and like ask her how she was. And we ended up finding out that she was a principal whose one of her first graders in the elementary school had died, like just kind of a freak choking accident on Thanksgiving. And she had to leave the next morning to go back for the funeral. And I just like got down on the floor between our tables. I looked like I was proposing to her. And I was like, can I pray for you? And her eyes just filled with tears, like, oh yes, please. And I kind of put my hand up on the table and she just grabbed it. Like she was so hungry for connection and somewhere to have an outlet for her grief. And someone was telling me a story last night too about how she was late for a prayer meeting at her church service because she ran into some guy outside and was talking to him and it felt like a divine appointment. And after a while he said, I walk by here every day for like 4 years, and you are the only person besides your pastor one time that has stopped and talked to me. And she was like kind of getting in trouble for being late for the prayer meeting, but she was like, but I God made this moment. Like, where would Jesus be right now? He'd be right here talking to
Right.
this man who needs someone to hear him and to see him. So yeah, I don't know. This isn't where I thought this was going, but I think whether you're like on a trip or at home doing your thing, just your daily commute, like there's people that God wants you to encounter. And there's people that are, he's going to bring your way to deposit something in you. And so I appreciate you, Megan, being so receptive to hear that new thing and to kind of chase after it and learn about it and bring that tool to us. It's been transformative.
Thank you. And also, it's a fine line between wanting to show up for divine appointments to minister to other people and also being scared to go out to eat with you in public, because that is not the first time that you have just started like spontaneously praying for someone in a restaurant or in a public place. Always with permission from the person. Don't get me wrong. She's not super crazy, but yeah.
Fine. I wondered what the waiter thought though when he came back and I'm like on one knee with my hand on this lady's hand. He was probably like, what just happened while I was gone?
No, that was great. The whole trip, it was a whole God moment to kind of, I said we kind of got to bookend our year a little bit with an amazing excursion last January and then this one in December, and God showed up in different ways both times. He always does when we're setting out to look for him. And yeah, just lucky, excited, and ready to see what 2024's got for us.
It's a journey. I'm glad we're on it.
And that wraps up another episode of the Dauntless Grace Exchange. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave a review so other people can find us.
You can follow us on social media to stay connected. We're on Instagram at Dauntless Grace Ministries, and our Facebook page is Dauntless Grace.
For more about the Enneagram, visit our website at dauntlessgrace.org for coaching and training opportunities. And you can follow me at Enneagram Megan on Instagram.
And be sure to check out our website for more information about today's podcast. Plus, you can click the resources tab to find books by all the authors we've spoken to or about. And you can find it at dauntlessgrace.org.